Now go ahead and open up to Ephesians 5, and we're going to start again at Ephesians 5:14, and we're coming into a change of season. I don't know exactly what that means. As I know more, of course, I'll tell more, but I could see part of it. And again, it starts with this verse here that got us started on this trip through Ephesians again this time. For 6 months. I had no idea I was going to be, teaching on it for 6 months. But it's this verse. He says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk." See, once that happens, it changes your walk. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." And boy, if Paul thought they were evil in his day, hang around here a little while, My goodness. Well, for 6 months we've been going through the book of Ephesians. And I don't know about you, but I feel like the Lord has given us quite a bit more light in it than I know. I understand a lot more out of it than I did before. So we're coming into that time now. You know, the first three chapters are all about the revelation knowledge of what God has done for us. And without going through that again, I mean, it's pretty amazing things when you really read what He has done for us. We're not even really a normal human anymore. We're a species from another realm, yet we keep trying to act like the old species that we're from, just forgiven now. And we're never going to walk in the works that we've been called to do by that mentality. So, with that thinking in mind, just back up one chapter into chapter 4. Okay, so you've been walking like one person for 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, however long. He said, "Well, I want you walking completely different than that." "Well, how are you going to change my walk?" "Well, first, I'm going to have to give you some light, because you're asleep to what I've done for you. You're like sleepwalking. You don't know the truth." And see, before the truth can change you, you got to know what the truth is. Well, that's the give you light part. "Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead." That means quit walking like a dead man. Quit thinking like the old dead man you were before. "Christ shall give thee light." Well, He's been giving us light now for 6 months. We've been getting instruction. We've been getting revelation knowledge. We've been getting information. Let's say it this way. We've been getting God's truth. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But see, you got to couple that up with only when you act on it. You can know the truth. There's nothing left to be understood about it. You know what the truth is. My favorite example of that, I was sharing with one of my own relatives one time. And they're Southern Baptist, God loved the Southern Baptist, without them, where would we Pentecostals get our people? They're going to heaven, salt of the earth, give you the shirt off their back, love Jesus. But I'd show them out of John 14. Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do, because I go unto the Father." I'd put his nose right down on my Bible and just look. I said, "Look at it yourself. Now, look at what Jesus said. The works that I do, the works he did, we shall do those same works." There's the truth. Look right at it. Look up at me and go, "Only Jesus can do that." Now, he's choosing to reject the truth. And if you choose to reject the truth, I'll tell you right now, you're never going to walk in it. You're never going to walk in it. So for 6 months, and I'm not saying we're through with this process. There may be more light coming. I don't know. But I sense a change of season. Now it's time to walk in the light that He's been giving us. See? Well, how does that happen? Well, that's why we backed up into chapter 4. The process of doing that is described here in verses 22, 23, and 24. Because of the light that we've been given, He wants us to put off, verse 22, "put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Well, he wants us to do more than just put that guy off. Look at verse 24. He wants us to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, I want you to make your old man walk holy. Yet that is what religion is constantly trying to get Christians to do. Make that old man walk holy. No. The old man is crucified with him. He's not calling us to do better. He's calling us to keep that old man buried in the ground, learn who we really are as new creatures in Christ, and walk as those creatures that we truly are. Well, you can't do that if you don't know who you are. That's the light that he's been giving us. That's the truth. Well, how do you make the transition? He tells you right here. How do you put off the old and put on the new? He tells you. Verse 23. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. My understanding of that verse at this point. You're going to have to have a mind in order to make that transition. See, because your mind didn't get born again. You know? Your memories didn't get born. You didn't lose your old memories. You didn't lose all of that. Your mind did not get born again. Your spirit did. So the mind, the day you got born again, has got tracks in it. It's got ruts in it. It's got patterns in it that's been established. In my case, when I got born again, I was already 33 years old. Had 33 years of being trained by a dead death nature. I mean, I had patterns and religion. I had patterns established in there, man, in my mind. But here, God gave me a new spirit, but I got the same old mind. Now, he's going, in order to make this transition, you're going to have a mind that has been renewed to think like that spirit that I put in you. That new creature that's in there, the Holy Spirit is his teacher. He is the teacher of your mind. As your nature learns, as your spirit learns from the Holy Ghost, it's really your spirit that turns around and goes, hey, mind, listen to this. Check this out. And so the mind is the part of us that has to be renewed. So I was thinking about that even since this morning, okay? I'm just encapsulating a little quickly here this morning. This whole thing comes down to us renewing the mind. Now, it's renewing the mind in the essence, the way that he's talking about here, is more than just having new knowledge. Having new knowledge is the beginning of it. You know you've been renewed when you act on it. Example. For years and years and years, religion put ruts in my mind. Can I call it memory tracks? Like you have the old LPs, you know, they had tracks, and it sounded the same every time you played it, didn't it? Why? Because it had those tracks in there. All right? It had those ruts. Well, my mind had a rut in it. Every time I got paid, I either put 10% in the offering plate, or God put me under a curse. Now, how did I have that track? What? And if some of you are listening to this going, what's wrong with that? I have a set of tapes for you. I've got a whole bunch of tapes for you in the Kingdom Finance section at the website. They're free. You'll go listen to them. But I had ruts in my brain that was just one of the tracks. Another one was Luke 6:38. I literally thought that every time I put money into an offering plate as it came by, plate, bucket, wheelbarrow, whatever they sent, God would multiply that. He would, you know, press, you know, give back to me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, would men give into my bosom. That's what I thought. Well, come to find out, neither one of those things were true. Now, when I first started hearing these things, I didn't hear it from man. I had heard the wrong doctrine from men. I was a tapeaholic before the prayer center. I was a bookaholic. I was a TV preacherholic. And that's where I got all my doctrine for the most part. I didn't know anything about assimilating the book. I didn't know anything much about praying in other tongues. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit would get involved. So y'all know my testimony. In December of 1992, I just made that decision in the trucks. I was already stuck in those trucks 10 hours at a time anyway. And I just made the decision, if I'm in the cab of that truck, I'm going to start praying. Now, fortunately, I had a lot of Word on the inside of me already. I had been a student of the Word for years and years. So, you know, even though I couldn't sit and read at that time, I could pray. Well, the Holy Ghost, He took advantage of all that word that was down in there. And as I began to pray, these little stones, He began building a stone wall of revelation knowledge on the inside of me regarding finances. And He would take from the word here, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. He started building this stone wall. But sometimes He'd have to tear down a wall that was already in there. And I started getting glimpses of, let's see now. If Christ became the curse for me, you know, like in Galatians, if He bore the curse, let's see, then how could I be cursed? See, thoughts began to come. But I'm telling you, it didn't change in an instant. It was little by little, my mind was becoming renewed. I started getting little glimpses. First it caused wavering. I wonder if I'm really cursed or not cursed. I don't know. That preacher says I am. I'm starting to think maybe I'm not. Now what we're doing, I couldn't have told you then. I was in the process of changing my belief system. I was in the process of changing what I have fundamentally believed at the core of Gary Carpenter. Because I'm telling you right now, if I find out that some action I take is going to get me cursed by God, I plan on not taking that action. Okay? You know? Okay? So, I mean, I'm serious about it. But right on the other hand, if I find out I've been lied to by preachers, and I'm believing something that's a lie, and then I find out it's the truth, now, it takes a while for the renewing of the mind. It doesn't happen overnight. It was a process. I find myself now sometimes, believe it or not, there's still a lot of preachers out there that still believe all that old stuff. And they'll call me. Some of them get mad at me. And I'll talk with them for just a little while. But they can only take so much at a time, see? And they want to get renewed in a 30, you know, or let's say a 15-minute phone call. What it took me a year of praying and letting the Holy Ghost change my thinking on it till I finally saw the truth. But see, it's a process of changing what you believe. But boy, all of a sudden, one day, it changes. And when you really change what you believe, you will change your actions. It will affect your actions. And then once you know the truth, buddy, and you've acted on it, you're free then. Now, I'm mainly at this point talking about my personal walk regarding finances. I could talk again. I mean, I could already told y'all many times about Romans chapter 6. Let's look there for just a moment. And I don't want to dwell here. We've talked about this, but it's such a good example. There's a process of light coming. There's a process of renewing the mind. And then all of a sudden, it may take a while. Sometimes it may take quite a while. Sometimes it may take years. But boy, eventually you're going to be up against it. You understand the truth. Now the question is, are you willing to walk in it? Because sometimes that change is really hard. This one was a lot harder than the finances. This is when I was smoking like a freight train. I'm going to pick on me again, be real nice to you. You know, I'm not asking you about your stuff. Okay? All right? We're not going to talk about gossip or slander or envy or shoes or clothes or anything. Cars, jobs, anything like that. Anyway. But here I was. I mean, one thing for sure, I knew it was sin. I knew it was wrong. I should not be in bondage to anything, especially cigarettes. That's crazy, okay? I knew it was wrong. But I couldn't find the power to quit. I'd read Romans 6. Now, is Romans 6 God's Word? Is it the truth? I'd read it, and it'd go, like, just start off. Well, and here I am. Now, I always do this to help you. I want you to get the picture. Here I am. Puff, puff, puff. Been praying for hours, still puffing away. Puff, puff. Somebody come over and say, is that the Shekinah glory cloud? Trust me, it's not. No. It's a nicotine cloud, because I've been over there praying and smoking, okay? Thank God Dave would say, you know, he'd tell us, better is a creep that... I felt like such a creep. But better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. Amen. Well, I'd meditate this and he'd go, well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Puff, puff. Uh-huh. That grace may abound. And I'm going, no. No, puff. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Puff, puff. And I'm going, I don't know, but I am. No, you're not. And apparently I'm going, apparently I don't know. That so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into His death. Apparently I don't know it. I can read it. I would read this thing. Where is the one that would just kill me dead? Yeah. Well, that was killing me dead too. Yeah. Okay, verse 16. Look at this. Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. See, now I wasn't really bound down to the cigarette. I mean, that's the way they usually tell you. I was bound down to my body. Back up here a little bit. What he's talking about is your body. Verse 12. Let not sin therefore rule and reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it. It what? The body. In the lust thereof. Boy, I sure was so. And it's going right here. I've got a choice. I can either bow to the Lord, or I can bow to my body. Well, how many times do you think I'd get fired up and go, that's it. I ain't bowing another time. I'm tired of bowing down to you, body. I'm not bowing to you anymore. Did real good for an hour. About an hour, you know, my body wasn't even giving me any trouble for about an hour. About an hour and a half goes by. My body starts talking. It says, yeah, you just think you're not going to bow. You're going to bow. No, I'm not going to bow. Boy, after about 4 hours, I'm driving to the Quick Trip again. And I'm telling you, I had to keep on reading. Now, the reason for that, I'm in the process of light gathering. Can I say that? I am acquiring knowledge. I am renewing my mind. I even made a set of confessions. See, because what we're coming into now is walking in this. And my question to you is, what are you going to do to renew your mind? I'll tell you right now, you're going to do something different than what you've done, or you're going to stay the same. Sad to say, talking to Gary as much as you, I'm going to have to do something different. The light that He's given me, somehow I have to learn to incorporate that. I have to do whatever works for Gary, and I'm not going to tell you. I don't know yet what it's going to be. In this case, what y'all know, because I kept on praying, because I kept on seeking His will, because I even made confessions of Romans 6, I'd spend hours saying them out loud. One day He had mercy on me and appeared to me in a vision. Now, I'm not saying He has to appear to you every time to make you change, but He did to me that time, and a 42-year habit came to an end. That was the beginning of the war, though. That wasn't the end. That was the beginning. I mean, war, you talk about World War III. I never had a more miserable year than the next year after that. Out on the other hand, it was the most glorious year that I've had probably in ministry. That was the year that I traveled to South Africa and Korea for the first time and Poland for the first time. And traveling in the United States, we saw more miracles that next year. But we'd seen them before. But personally, myself, I was in agony. Somebody said to me one time, somebody who knew what I was going through, they said, Gary, you just seem so peaceful and calm on the outside. And I'm right in the middle of this withdrawal war. I said, I may be peaceful and calm on the outside. I am running and screaming on the inside. It was horrible. Horrible. It was a year and a half before I got the first day of relief. Year and a half. These types and shadows of warfare from the Old Testament are not for no reason. To change who... He's really talking to us in Ephesians there. He is talking about changing our core belief of even who we are, what we are, what is possible. And I mean at your core, at your fundamental basic building block of you. Renewing the mind to a whole new reality. Sue has a phrase. She says, I like SRA. SRA, what is that? That is selective reality acceptance. It is the reality that I choose to believe. Now see, there's a lot of truth to that. Yes, sir. Now, go to Matthew 17 and just put a marker there. because we're going to come back to it, I think. Yep. Matthew 17. And then go over to Mark 9. And Mark 9, let's start in verse 17. It says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foams and gnashes with his teeth, and pines away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. We usually read this out of Matthew 17, but there's a little aspect here that Mark brings out that's not so clear over in Matthew. Well, Jesus answered and said, O faithless generation. And why is he saying that? Because he's been training those disciples for years. And they've already had success casting out devils. And he expected them to cast this one out. But they couldn't do it. So he says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long am I going to suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit, that devil inside of him, it tore him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. You think that didn't happen when they brought him up to the disciples that were there? I believe they were moved so much by what they saw. The wallowing and the foaming and the gnashing, and it affected their senses. Well, Jesus asked the man, he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. Oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. In other words, that devil's trying to kill my boy. He's tried in the past. This is serious. Now notice what the man says. And this is the way most people are when they get in the prayer line. But if thou canst do anything, Dave, Alan, Gary, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And notice Jesus' answer now. This is the part that we don't normally, it's not brought out so clear in Matthew's account. But Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Now see, the man was putting it all on Jesus. Jesus turns right back around and puts it back on the man. You see this? He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Okay? That's a good prayer, by the way. That's really where we are right now, if you want to know the truth of it. Now, why did he say, I believe? The guy had some level of belief, or he wouldn't have brought his son there in the first place. He had some hope, he had some faith that his son could be helped. If he didn't have that, he wouldn't have brought him. So he's going, Lord, I believe. In other words, I'm believing with all that I know how. How many of y'all, when y'all pray for the sick, you're believing with all that you know how? Well, me too. But it didn't happen when we prayed, you know? Not always. Some of them got healed, some of them don't get healed. We're talking about the ones now. We want the ones that didn't get healed. Well, Jesus said, if you can believe, Gary, all things are possible. And I'm going, Lord, I believe, or I wouldn't have prayed for him in the first place. I wouldn't have called the prayer line. I believe, help thou my unbelief. And I think that's exactly what he's been doing for the last 6 months. He's been giving us light from his word to help us with our unbelief. Now, in this particular case, he says, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he went ahead and he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he left him like one dead, insomuch that many said, uh-oh, he's dead. Don't think that kind of thing's not going to happen here too. Even then, don't you waver in your faith. Don't you waver. Jesus didn't. If that devil was able to do it there and with Jesus himself, don't you waver. Gary, preaching to me too. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he's coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? Now here it just says, and he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Now go to Matthew 17, because now in Matthew's account here, he gives us more information than Mark. All right? Now the problem was unbelief. Normally when we teach this, we just talk about the unbelief of the disciples, but it was also the unbelief of the Father. Jesus said, well, if you can believe, all things are possible. And he's going, I'm believing with all I know how. Can you help me? That's the prayer of the prayer center right now. And he has been helping us with our unbelief. Now watch this. What is the cure for unbelief? All right, now watch. So, same thing happened. Verse 18, Matthew 17, 18. Jesus rebuked that devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, privately, and they said, why could not we cast him out? In other words, why didn't it happen when we prayed? And Jesus said unto them, don't you wish it was something else? Don't you wish the answer was something different? Don't you wish he'd have said, well, this is one mean, nasty devil that no one but the Son of God himself can cast out? Don't you wish he'd have said something like, listen, you guys did really good. I'm proud of you. You prayed hard. I know you prayed hard. No, he already said, you faithless and perverse generation. Why didn't it happen when I prayed? He's not going to say anything different to us. And he said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you. Now, he's using this example here, but I'm going to put it in even more plain English, I hope. He says here, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say even unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it will remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. How be it, or this is how it be, this kind of what? Devil? Was the devil the problem? The unbelief was the problem. He didn't say it was because that was a big, nasty devil. He said, no, you couldn't do it because of your unbelief. The mountain is the unbelief. This kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. I wish there was a church where a person could go and learn about prayer and fasting. Because apparently that's got a whole lot to do with changing our belief system. Now see, I'm going full circle back around to me in the trucks now. Now, then, I was just trying to find knowledge about kingdom finances and that kind of thing. But as I was just praying. I didn't do any fasting during that time. I was just praying. I couldn't even really assimilate the word during that time because I'm driving a truck. But I had word in me. Okay? Just the praying alone, couldn't do any fasting. The praying alone was enough to change my belief system little by little by little till suddenly it affected my actions. My actions changed forever and I can't be manipulated by those verses anymore. Just prayer alone changed my belief, which changed my action. Because faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Amen? All right? I understand the prayer part, and apparently the fasting has got to do with putting that old, you know. I can't prove this, but based on the three accounts we have of this event in the Gospels, they talk about the wallowing and the foaming and all of the. This particular devil had tremendous manifestations, and I think they were moved by what they saw, and it was just enough doubt where they weren't able to cast that devil out. Jesus wasn't moved by that. He was able to cast it out. All right, now, put off the old man. I'm telling you right now, that old man is full of unbelief. That old man is ruled by the five physical senses. That old man makes decisions based on what it sees, what it hears, what seems reasonable to the natural mind. That guy, you can't even retrain him. He's been killed. He's been killed. You've got to keep him in the ground. God's not asking you to retrain that guy either. The only part he's asking us to retrain, instead, using that instead of renew, is the mind. Because the spirit that trained that mind in the first place, that fallen nature, that nature, that's the part that's been crucified on the cross. Now there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new teacher in town. There's a new nature in town. This nature is able to comprehend the things of God. This nature that's in you has the capacity to teach your mind the physics of another realm. It's the physics of heaven, where all things are possible. In the same way that the sin nature taught us limits on what was possible, the new nature, by the Holy Ghost, is able to retrain that brain of ours to take the limits off. But it comes by the renewing of the mind. Now, what are we going to do different? So, well, I can pray. That's good. I can fast. That's good. But I keep going back, and that's good. It really is. But there's another thing you can do, and I keep going back to Abraham. Because God gave him a promise that seemed absolutely impossible. According to the five physical senses, Sarah was already past menopause. She was past the way of women, it says. We know a little bit about Abraham because when God says to Sarah, you know, she overheard God say, "You're going to have a baby about a year from now," Sarah laughed. He said, "Am I going to have pleasure from my husband again?" Tells you a little bit about his condition. In the natural, you got 100-year-old prune next to another 100-year-old prune. This is not going to happen. So God does two things. So we can pray and we can fast, but He gave us the ability to see. You have an eye of faith? You have a capacity to see. God changed what Abraham looked at. For 100 years, however long they'd been married of those 100 years, what they had seen, if you'll allow me, was an empty crib in their tent. They always wanted a child. They never had a child. So, if they're going to go by what they've seen barrenness. All right, let's talk about this church. If we're going to go by what we see a lot of empty chairs. We see a lot of opportunities for more people to get saved and healed. I thank God for every person that does get healed. I've been healed here. Many people have been healed here. Is there room for improvement? Well, we're going to have to quit thinking and about how we've seen it for the last however long you've been here. I've been here 16 years. What has been is not what shall be. See? Now, I've got to see. With Abraham, he took him outside the tent. Says, I want you to quit looking at this the way it's been. Look at those stars. And he says, can you count those stars for multitude? And Abraham, there's no way I can count all those stars. Then he took him another time, took him out. They're in a desert. He says, can you count the grains of sand in a desert? Abraham said, there's no way. He says, that's how your seed is going to be. I want you to start seeing with the eye of faith. You're going to have descendants that number like that for multitude. See, it's said about Abraham. Abraham believed God. He just believed God. What God's calling the prayer center to do is to believe the first three chapters of Ephesians. To believe that what it says is true. To the point, we'll act on it. So first he had to see it. And then God does the most amazing thing. He changes what Abraham says. At his core, I mean, your name is pretty personal. He says, you're no longer Abram. From this day forward, every time you say who you are, you say, I am, like it's already happened, I am the father of a multitude. How would we incorporate that in the renewing process of our mind? Several people have been working on confessions out of Ephesians. In the old days, I'd fix them up for you. I'd prepare them. I'd print them out. I'd bring them here. Didn't I? You know, I've done it so many times. I may do it again, but you better not count on it. You've been here accountable, your own self. It'd be good for you to take the Word of God and change it and make it present tense yourself. There's a renewing process even in that. But if we don't change what we're... Yes. Yes. Fasting and prayer, obviously, continue to do that. But all these truths that He's been giving us, all this light that He's been giving us for the 6 months, I suggest, I recommend. I know this is part of what Gary will do to help in the renewing process. I make confessions out of that, begin coming out of my mouth exactly what the book of Ephesians says I am, exactly what the book of Ephesians says I have, exactly what the book of Ephesians says I can do. We are seated with, look at, okay, for example, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Hallelujah. The renewing of the mind. It is the renewing of the mind. See, God has already blessed us. We are in Ephesians 1, it tells you. He's already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I like to say it this way. He's already done His part. He's adopted, He's forgiven us through the blood of Christ. He's adopted us into His family. He has regenerated our spirit. He has given us an inheritance. He has made us joint heirs with Him. God has done His part. But that's all in the realm of the Spirit. We are the ones that have to renew our minds to that truth. He will not do that part for us. He can help us. You know, help thou my unbelief, He'll help. But ultimately, that renewing of the mind is left up to us. Now, for example, here in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, Paul was praying this prayer. How would you make this into a positive tense confession now? Let's just start in verse 19, just for practice. If you were renewed, if this prayer had already been answered in you, then wouldn't you say, well, I know the exceeding greatness of His power to me. I'm one who believes. His power is according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him down at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, see, you could add here, because you already know what's in chapter 2. He has seated me and Christ, or you could say He has seated Christ and me at His right hand. I am seated right now with Christ far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And in case you're thinking that's only for the future world, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet. Whose feet does Christ have on the earth but yours? He doesn't have any feet on earth but His body's. If His feet's above, you're above. So you could say, He's put all things under His feet, I'm the feet. Given Him to be head over all things to the church. I'm just saying, you're going to have to do something with the understanding, the light that you have. And you didn't learn your multiplication tables by saying it one time. You certainly didn't learn your multiplication tables by listening to the teacher just do it herself or himself. They had to lead you in it. You had to practice it. You got it wrong a bunch of times. Then you had to go do it again and do it again and do it again. And probably by now you need to do it again. What is 3 times 72? Just a minute. You'd have to figure it out, see? But the renewing of the mind doesn't happen overnight on anything. Well, we're talking about renewing the mind to a whole other world. Is this making any impact? And I'm telling you right now, if it was easy, revival will already be busted out all over everywhere. Nobody's doing this. Nobody's doing it. I feel privileged and honored to have the opportunity. I'm only 62. I got lots of time here. Let's get on with it. Let's get on with it. You know, if it's possible, and apparently it is, to renew the mind, otherwise why write the letter? If it's possible to put off that old man and put on the new one. And that point is so critical. I just keep pounding on it again and again, because he's telling me it's not talking about straightening that old man up. He's not talking about you getting that old man to do better. He's talking about put that old man in the ground where he belongs. You are not that person anymore. Get your mind renewed to that first. You are not that person. Yes, sir. Close your eyes for just a minute. Close your eyes. Now, suddenly, you're not in the classroom at this prayer center with the slopey floors. I've got a teaching series called Sent from Heaven. And what the premise of it was this. He says, what if the day you got born again, God took you to heaven for about 3 years and trained you in heaven where you got to practice and then sent you back to earth? So just for a moment, you're in heaven now. You're not here anymore. You're in heaven. Can't you hear the angels? You open your eyes and it's jasper walls and diamond doorknobs and you're in heaven. And now even your senses are telling you, perhaps I'm not the same old person I used to be. I'm in heaven now. You're a new creature. And he says, in the same way that you had to learn what was possible down there, now I've got to teach you what's possible now that you're a child from here. And honey, if you can believe it, all things are possible. Now see, if we had that physical experience where we were sitting there and we could hear the angels singing and we saw the seraphim flying overhead, and even you'd begin to believe it. Maybe I'm a new creature. But now we've got to believe it while we're still here. And let Him renew our mind to it, even while we're still in this place. The world has yet, really, in our generation, to even hear the gospel really taught. Amen. When they really hear it, they'll think you're crazy. Yep. Like they thought Jesus was crazy. But boy, they'll know where to come when they need prayer. Amen? All right. So I recommend confession to you, is what I'm saying, as just one tool that we can use to renew the mind. But you're going to have to do something extracurricular activity. Just doing it during the sessions here or whatever we do, I don't know what we're going to do here. That's not probably going to get it done for you. I had to walk the floor and confess the Word 4 hours a day for about 10 months. I hate to admit that my mind, the old error tracks in my brain was that deep that it took 10 months confessing the Word to deliver me, let's say it this way, to make deeper grooves in what I had before with the truth. Took 10 months almost, 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. And finally I go, duh. His Word is true. Well, boy, we got a lot of that same kind of thing coming now regarding who we are in Christ. I haven't shared this in a long time. See, I forget because I've lived this way for so long. I forget people don't. I had to learn this. You understand as an engineer how crazy this confession stuff sounded to me when I first started hearing it? What I say, just the words coming out of my mouth can change physical circumstances? What? I'm going to take just the one. I'm going to take the thing that took me out of the trucks was a heart condition. Supraventricular dicardia. And they say it's genetic, which that was odd since nobody in my family's ever had it on either side. And it's incurable. Well, you can't drive the trucks with that because you never know, what'll happen is your heart starts doing these like super beats. And one is not dangerous. It just makes you woozy. But if it does 3 or 4 in a row, it'll vacate the heart of blood and you black out. That's not good when you're driving an 80,000 pound rig to black out. Okay. So that's what ended the truck driving. Well, they said I couldn't be cured. They said, they put me on this real strong medicine because without it, my heart would just go into those strong arrhythmia things and I'd black out. It happened several times. So they put me on this medicine and it did regulate the heart. I mean, as long as I took the medicine, I didn't have any more episodes, but you start reading the side effects. It had all kinds of side effects. And one of them was it accelerates the onslaught or the onset of arthritis. Man, in my 50s at the time, I did not need anything that accelerated the onslaught of arthritis, So I'm going, God, I need to be healed of this. I want to be healed of this. I'm shortening this way down. Well, I got in a prayer line, wouldn't you? Yeah. I got in a prayer line, and Dave called me out one night. He says, all right, now, I'd already been in several, but Dave called me out and says, Gary, I think this is the night for your heart. Prayed for me, smacko, on the floor. Man, I slid up under the front row. I thought, this is it. I've got my miracle. Threw my medicine, went and flushed it down the toilet. Because I'd heard a guy the week before testify how he did that. So I thought, okay, he flushed his medicine, got his miracle. I'm going to flush my medicine, get my miracle. About 7 days later, after not taking the medicine for 7 days, I had another blackout. Nearly died. Well, now I'm all confused. I don't know what to do. So I go to Pastor Dave. I tell him what I just told you, and he just leaned back in that chair of his and went to La La Land like he does. You know, you know, he's out there somewhere with God, you know. And he said, Gary, God's not obligated to manifest your healing because you threw away your medicine. He said it this way. He said, an action in the natural does not guarantee a reaction in the spirit. But he says, action in the spirit will always produce a reaction in the natural. I said, what are you talking about? He says, you need to refill your prescription because obviously you've still got manifestations and you need to stay alive long enough to develop faith.
Amen.
Now, see, that's why anytime, you might as well know this, if you ever come to me and, Gary, what do you think? Should I continue to take my medicine? If you have to ask me, I already know the answer is yes, you need to continue taking your medicine. Now, that doesn't mean I'm telling you go throw your medicine away. What you need to do is what I did. Well, I said, well, what are you telling me? What should I do? He says, renew your prescription and take your medicine just exactly the way the doctor told you. But now you need to, now here we go. You need to do the same thing Abraham did. You need to take God's word and begin speaking it out of your mouth, calling yourself healed, calling yourself with a new heart every day, and then listen to God. See if He tells you anything. Well, I started doing exactly that. I took my medicine. As long as I took the medicine, everything was fine. But now, I'm doing what I wasn't doing before, which is on purpose, quoting out of my mouth. I did it a minimum of 3 times a day. Morning, noon, and night, for sure. And sometimes I did it for an hour or two. Not all the time. I don't want you to think I did it all the time. But I would just say things like, by His stripes I was healed. You are the Lord my God. You bless my bread. You bless my water. And You take sickness away from the midst of me. Himself bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And I'd talk to my heart. I'd say, heart, I've got a new heart. I command a new heart in my chest. I do not have. I rebuke supraventricular dicardia. Go from me, I said. And I just did everything I knew to do. And about 6 months of doing that. Now 6 months, everyone say out loud. 6 months. Say it this way, January, February, March, April, May, June. That's a long time to keep doing. Most people don't do the same thing for 2 weeks, much less 6 months. Confessing the Word. Most of them quit after about a week. If they don't see their answer, they quit. About 6 months into that, I heard just as clear as you're hearing my voice. I heard it. I don't know if it was out loud or not. I heard. Begin skipping every third dose of that medicine. Just every third dose. So I calculated that out and I started skipping every third dose. I stayed on that schedule for 6 months, still continuing to confess the Word at least 3 times a day, call my heart normal, speak it out of my mouth. Now, I wasn't doing anything in the natural. No additional doctor things, no surgery, nothing in the natural. Just doing what I'm telling you. About another 6 months went by and he says, now skip every other dose. Long story short, over the space of 2 years, everyone say 2 years. Now I could lead you through the months if it would help you. Make you say them all out loud. I'm trying to make a point. Okay? At the end of 2 years, I came to the end of that prescription and I was going to go refill it again. And I heard the Lord say, you don't need to refill it. You've got your miracle. You'll never have that problem again. That was in May of 1998. This is what, June of 2009. I've never had another dose of that medicine, and I've never had another symptom of that heart problem. Now, you come too late to tell me now. I am renewed to the fact that what I say takes dominion over my physical body. What I say will change my body. Even when the doctors say it's impossible and you can't be cured, yes, you can. You can be cured. There are no limits. Now, I've got a little bit of renewal in finances. I've got of my mind. I've got a little bit of renewal in domination over the appetites of the flesh. I've got a little bit of renewal of my mind now over what's physically possible with healing. But now He's wanting to renew our minds to what's possible with His anointing. And revival. And I mean, the same things that's happened in those other realms is going to happen in this one too. We are going to awake to righteousness. Awake to who we are. Arise from the dead and start walking like the new creatures He really made us to be. Hallelujah! Glory to God. But it's not going to happen if we don't do something different. If I hadn't have obeyed Dave's instructions, if I'd have just kept telling everybody, well, I don't know why it didn't happen. I don't know. Dave prayed and I didn't get my miracle. If I'd have talked like that, I'd still be taking that. Only by now I'd be so choked up with arthritis, I'd hardly be able to walk. I had to change what I was doing. We have to change something, or we're going to be the same 5 years from now that we are now. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm asking you to ask the Holy Ghost. You get your plan from God. I had to get His plan for me. That's good stuff, isn't it? You see why He's doing that? Dave didn't tell me what to do. I had to get instruction other than just to do the confessions. But that plan, skip every third dose, skip every... That came from the mind of Christ for me. You say, well, He could have cured you the first time. I don't know why He did it the way He did it. I'm just happy to be healed. Amen. Well, so will the rest of them that come. Be happy to be healed. Amen. So, just know this. We're going to have to do something different than what we've done in the past if our mind is going to be renewed to these new things. Ask Him what the plan is for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That's enough for tonight. Did you get anything out of that? Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God.